welcome and thanks for coming to our 2011 graduation for our seven seniors this year at Faith Baptist Academy. We're glad that you're here. It's a good group, a good crowd of folks, and we're glad to have you in the graduation service tonight. We had a wonderful time at the awards banquet last night. It was a great banquet and a good time at the awards chapel yesterday morning. In fact, it's just been a great school year, much of that because of the example and testimony of these seven seniors who've just done right and obeyed and trusted the Lord and done right by their parents. And, you know, there's a trickle-down effect. You remember Ronald Reagan, right? Trickle-down, okay, economics. It was a trickle-down effect when people do right and honor God. And it's been a great year for us, and we're certainly thankful and glad for this class of seniors. We're glad that you're here tonight. Families and relatives and grandparents and cousins and so forth, thank you so much for coming and being in this service. Now, we don't want to be stiff and starchy, okay? It's graduation. You ought to be happy, okay? Some of you need to tell your face that it's a graduation and not a funeral service, all right? And be excited for these young people tonight. This is a graduation celebration, there it is. And we want you to have a good time. We're not going to be starchy and stiff, but we'll have a good time tonight in the Lord. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on this time together, okay? Our Father, we are glad that we have this opportunity tonight. We thank you for the lives of these seven young people. Thank you for their parents. Thank you, God, for their families. Thank you for the extended family members who are here this evening to celebrate with them. And God, most of all, thank you for Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. And Lord, we only can give you glory through your Son, Jesus. And we're certainly thankful for him, what he's done in our lives, our hearts, what he's done in the hearts of these young people. Would you please give us a good graduation service tonight? And speak to hearts, and Lord, may it be a night that these seniors especially will always remember. If we ask it in Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
We're going to have the high school choir come up at this time. They'll be singing In Christ Alone. Thank you. Well, along with the high school graduation this evening, we also have the eighth graders that are graduating this evening. And so at this time, if I could have the parents of all the eighth grade graduates, if you'll please stand, we'd like to just recognize those who are eighth grade parents. Give them a round of applause this evening. Thank you all. This is a unique group, not only for our high school, but I think as well for the eighth graders going to ninth grade. Just seems to be a good group of young people this year. And so I want to say I'm very proud of them as well as they get ready to go in ninth grade. And so at this time, we'll do the presentations of the eighth grade diplomas. If the graduates will please stand. Cherith Lynn Angel. Bias at all, is he? Shaquan Anthony Bibbs.
I'm not kissing him.
Rick Dean Dela Cruz. Austin Lee Heyman. Luke Isaiah Kent. Bailey Grace Smith. It's my pleasure to introduce to you the new upcoming freshman class at FBA. Give them a round of applause. At this time, as the seniors are dismissed, the rest of the choir will be singing, "I've Never Been This Homesick Before." from each of the graduates here, maybe a parent, if they will stand at this time, and maybe out-of-town guests as well, that would help us out. We'd like to introduce those who are here on behalf of one of the graduates. So if you'll stand at this time, and we'll just kind of go around here and start with Siemens. Brother Seaman, if you would introduce those who are with you here tonight. Sure, yes, sir. Yes, Ben. You may be seated. The Smiths. And the rest of Bourbonnais, they're all here too. Good to have you all here tonight. Brother Howard. Amen. Good to have you here. Howard family. Brother Payne. Have the Paynes here as well. Brother Reardon. Very nice to have you here tonight. Kyle and Laura have a new baby in the family, so they're back with a new one back there. Yes, Miss Jackie. She brought the rest of Bourbonnais with you, too. And Brother Levis. Thank you all for coming. Amen. And Jesus with you. Praise the Lord, and Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's give these families a round of applause this evening. Well, it's my turn just for a little bit here. I'll try to be very brief. I get to give the principal's address and special awards. Before I give the awards, though, I'd like to talk just to the seven seniors as a whole here this evening. Read six verses out of Psalms chapter 1. Said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And to you seven seniors this evening, as I begin to think back on this class, I can't help but think about the fact of them being just towering over the rest, as far as academics, as far as their service. They're just, they seem to be, I'll say, head and shoulders, if you will, over everybody else. Look at some of the teenagers out in the world, and I wonder what direction, if they're coming or going. You don't know sometimes. The way they're dressed, the way they look, the way they act. I mean, I hear them speak, and I know Pilots has something a little bit to do with that, but it's amazing to me. And I begin to look at verse 3 in Psalm chapter 1, and it says there, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Now, I'm going to tell each one of you they're a tree, but I do want to talk a little bit on that line and use an analogy of that. And if I could title what I want to tell you all this evening, it's about each one of you. I see that you're towering over the treetops. At this point in your life, you're towering over the treetops above the rest. And as a tree, this verse in the Scripture here says, "And he shall be like a tree planted." That tree, as it began to get, as it was being planted, had a beginning. It had a start. It had some place where it originated. And you've had a place like that. You've had a church, Stephen, a place out there in Indiana, that is a place that's been a foundation for you all. That's where you've laid some roots. That's where you've put down some roots. A place that was planted by the rivers of water, by good church, by good school. You were planted in a place where God could use you. You've been put there. I put down for point number one, you're about to be uprooted and planted somewhere else now. You're about to be uprooted and put in Bible college or in a college. You're about to be put somewhere where it's not the same like walking the doors every morning here. It's going to be different. There's going to be people that are going to try to detour you. They're going to try to get you off course. They're going to try to put you where you don't want to be. There's going to be a lot of weeds, if I can say that. There's going to be a lot of other bad roots around you. There's going to be a lot of things that the devil is going to try and throw in your way. You've had 13 years, for the most part. All of you had it, Stephen, maybe less than that, but the rest of you about 13 years planted here at FBA. Please don't throw those years away. Please don't toss them aside. Don't just think, well, I spent here, I was involved in a good environment, and now it's over now. You spent 13 good years. I know this about trees, though. Trees need to be close to a power source. They need to be close to where they can draw life from something. Trees are constantly needing something. And you guys are getting ready to get uprooted and leave here. I'd hate for you to get next to something that's not giving you the right source. I'd hate for you to get next to somebody that can detour you. You've been given all the goods from your mom and your dad, from the preaching from this pulpit, from the teaching in the classroom. You've been given all the goods. Now it's time to do something with it. Now it's time to see what you can do. I see the last thing in verse there. It says, in the middle of the verse, "and bringeth forth his fruit in his season." Trees produce more trees. Trees produce more trees. We want to see you all produce other Christians. That's why you come to a Christian school. Because we want to see you all do something for God in your life. That's what we want to see. We want to see you serve God, do right, and live as if God Himself were watching you every move you make. We want you to make that step as you get uprooted from this place. You get moved. Now there's some attachment here. There's still some draw family still here. This will be your first time out on your own. Away from mom and dad. Away from the philosophy of Faith Baptist Academy. Away from friends that you know what they're like. You know what's going on. And you're going to be able to stand up, hopefully, and battle Satan. You've got the goods. You're towering over the treetops. And I hope you will. I hope you'll do very well. I pray you will. I pray for each one of you, as I did every day this school year. And I will continue to pray for each one of you. I love you. And on behalf of this school, we'll miss you. There's going to be a hole, and we'll miss you. I'm done with my part now. Let's have a few awards at this time. Top male soul winner and top female soul winner for the year. We'll start with a top male soul winner with 19 souls won to the Lord this year. Stephen Howard, come up. Top female soul winner this year with 10 souls won to the Lord, Emma Donahoe. Come on up here, Emma. This time we'll have the top GPA for the junior high and then the top GPA for the senior high, and separated just by 0.006 of a point. 0.006 of a point. The top GPA in the junior high is Megan Liga. Even closer in the senior high, top GPA for the senior high separated by 0.002 of a point. The runner-up with a 3.8 is Amanda Gardner. And the top GPAs for senior high with a 3.82, Brianna Reardon. This time, preacher has an award.
Last night at the awards banquet, we recognized our servant of the year. Every year, we look back over the school year and decide on recognizing an adult in our church who has gone above and beyond the call of duty to be a blessing to our school. And we of course, give them a gift at the awards banquet. We also take a moment at graduation to recognize them as well. That was probably a year ago that this man came and sat down. He was getting ready to retire from where he'd worked for years. And he said, "Pastor, I don't want to just waste my retirement years." He said, "If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to come down to the church often and just kind of tinker and fix whatever is broken or needs to be repaired." And he said, "I don't want any money. I don't need to be paid from the church. I just want to offer my time." And I said, "Brother, that would be tremendous." And so for this, starting in July last year, Brother Joe Griffin has spent probably 25 to 30 hours every week at on our church properties, making sure that things are fixed and working, and at no cost to us whatsoever. It does a great job. And so without hesitation this year, we gave our Servant of the Year award to Brother Joe Griffin. He's running the PA tonight. Come on down, Brother Joe. We'll wait for you to get here. And as I told the people last night, not only is Joe here, but he's glad to be here. He's happy to be here. And I appreciate his enthusiasm for helping this place stay in good order. It is a lot of work. It gets a lot of use. We didn't want to build a museum here for everybody to come and just look at. We built a building to be used, and believe me, it does get used. Brother Joe, thank you for your effort, your love, and your concern for our church and school. God bless you. Amen.
This time we'll have the salutatorian speech, and the salutatorian recipient this year is Jamie Clement. He'll come up.
Okay. So I told myself it was okay to cry, but I don't know if I'm crying because this is a bittersweet time or because my feet are killing me. I think it's a little bit of both. Well, I know this goes without saying. This is a very special night for the 7 seniors, and I want to thank everyone so much for coming and sharing this huge milestone to us in our lives. First of all, I don't even know how to begin to thank this school and this church. I can't believe I'm here, a senior, making this speech, and you want to say so many things, but you only have a certain time limit, so you can't exactly say everything you want to, but thank you just doesn't seem worthy enough for all the church and school have done for me. And I remember back in Missions Conference, which seems like yesterday, Brother Scott Mercer stood up here and said, he was giving his testimony, and he mentioned that someone else had once said that thank you wasn't enough, but he wanted to thank his church by living his life for the Lord. And that's exactly how I feel and what I want. I want to thank this church and repay the church and the school by taking everything they've given me and everything I've learned and everything they've instilled in me and everything that they have done, and I pray in return that I will take it all and use it to God's glory. And so two of the students of Faith Baptist that are now 8th through 12th graders, I want to thank you because your dedication this year for everything has been tremendous. And not only on the sports, in the sports area, but especially in the area of convention, because taking home 3 plaques was a great memory, but the senior class didn't do it by itself. We needed everyone, and I want to thank you for your hard dedication and your work and sticking with it and doing your best, and I just want to thank you so much. Secondly, I want you to know that you all have made this one of the best years anyone could ask for. I will miss everyone so much. From 8th to 12th, every kid. I want you all to know that I will miss you and to just stick with it because it's worth it in the end to stand up here and be able to say that you've went through your teenage years without regrets.
Amen.
And you're able to stand up here and tell your underclassmen that it's worth standing up here. And I just want to thank you so much for that. And I pray that you guys will all remain close and just continue on in God's will. And I promise you won't regret it. And to my family, though you all are worried, you embarrass me, or at least you say you're worried that you're embarrassed me, I could never ask for a better mom or dad or sister or aunt or uncle or papa or nana or grandma or cousin. And it'll be very hard to leave, but I have comfort in knowing that I have a family that loves me and prays for me, and it will be there no matter what. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. I love you all so much. And to my mom, I could never ask for a stronger mother.
That's right, huh?
You're my hero.
Amen.
And I love you so much. And I thank you for putting me in the school and church, because without you, I wouldn't be here today, and I wouldn't want to be any other place. And I know I owe almost everything to you for working so hard to put me and my sisters in this school, and I want to thank you so much for that. And last but not least, to my fellow classmates, I remember back in 5th grade, I got the choice to continue on in public school or come to this school, and hands down, I wanted to come back to this school. And I think a big part of that was because I had friends here. And even though I was a little different, not weird, but I hope, you never held that against me. And I want to thank you all for making me feel like I was just one of you guys. I came in at 5th grade, and you showered me with gifts, Rosie, and love and hugs, and it was overwhelming to feel that much love from such great friends, and I want to thank you for that. And I remember, like yesterday, we were sitting in a freshman class, I think it was world history, or some history, and we were talking about the future, and when we were going to leave, and we were talking about how it was only 4 years away, and, you know, it seemed like forever, but everybody told us, you know, it's going to go fast, and freshman year went by, and sophomore year went by, and junior year went by, and then we stood at graduation last year, and I remember everyone saying, guys, 1 year from now, and it's us, and now it's us, and I really don't know where the time went, honestly, and I'm so glad and thankful we're leaving here with no regrets. And not only that, but we're leaving a legacy behind that those under us can benefit from. And I remember one of the first chapels, Brother Larry Harrison spoke, and he spoke on leaving a legacy. And he told us that whether it's a good legacy or a bad legacy, we're going to leave one. And I think right then it kind of hit home with us that we weren't going to be the class that left a bad legacy. And I hope we did our best, and I think we did. And I'm so glad to be part of this class. I wouldn't want to be part of any other class, and I'm going to miss you guys so much. And I hope we stay in touch, and
we just continue on God's will, and I just pray and hope the best for you all. And again, thank you so much to the school and all the faculty. I can't even thank you enough. I kind of helped in convention a little bit this year, and I just got a tiny glimpse of what goes on, and I don't know how Mr. McGraw does it, because it's crazy. She does so much, and all the teachers, Brother Bragg, Brother Mike, Mrs. Thomason, Mrs. Rudin, everybody, they do such a great job, and they care so much about you. And so I just want to thank you all, and that's it.
Your songbook one more time, number 341. Number 340, there's victory in Jesus' land. I'll give you a chance to stretch your legs. Stand up with me and sing the first and last stanza. Stand with me, sing with me, number 341. I heard no ghost story. I was taken away from God. God became a life on Calvary. There's sacrifice like me. I heard about it. God is precious.
Speech, and the valedictorian this year is Stephen Howard.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So, it is an honor to be here, and I would like to thank you all for joining us tonight as my classmates and I celebrate this wonderful occasion and begin a new chapter in our lives. I would like to thank some very special people tonight who've made a great impact and influence on our lives. First of all, I would like to thank all the teachers who have put in the time, the effort, and to instill a good education into our lives. You've gone above and beyond what's necessary and encouraged each and every one of us to do our best, no matter what the circumstances. Because of you, we seven seniors are able to embark on this journey of our lives prepared. And there are a few people I would like to give some special thanks to. Ms. Thomason, what do I say? You're the best teacher in the world. I remember the time in study hall when I went to ask you a question and I accidentally called you Mom. Over the years, it would happen twice more. Anyway, you were always there for us and truly were like a second mother to many of us. I know this will probably make you cry, but I want to say that I love you. You are my favorite teacher, and you always will be. So Brother Bragg, I want to thank you for all the hard work, the time and effort that you put into this school. It means a lot. You've invested your life into an effort to influence others, and you have greatly succeeded. And I remember when we won the championship in basketball and we tried to lift you on our shoulders, and we failed. We almost dropped you on your head, but you didn't care because we just won the championship. You've been a great principal and a coach, and I want to thank you for all that you've done, and I've enjoyed getting to know you better. And Brother Angel, words can't express my gratitude for allowing me and my sis to come to this school here. You took a chance on allowing us to come, and I want to thank you for taking that risk. I would also like to thank for all the time that you took to invest in our lives with your busy schedule as being a pastor and all. And you took your time out, whether it was preaching in chapel almost every Tuesday, walking down the hallways, greeting students, or just stepping into a classroom just to say hello. It meant a lot. It meant a great big deal. To my family, I want to say a very special thank you. Without you, I would not be standing up here tonight. Mom, you are my favorite mom. You're always there to attend when I have my bumps, my bruises, and my mini cuts and breaks, or to take care of me when I was sick, or to clean up the disaster that I'd left behind. But when I would get home from school, I would be tired, or I had tons of homework. But you'd always be there with your trademark smile and there to say, how'd your day go, and to encourage and uplift me. And you mean so much to me, and I'll greatly miss you when I go to college. Dad, I can't find the words to tell you how much you mean to me. You're teaching me how to swing a baseball bat, to throw in a football. You always taught me how to throw it like Dan Marino because he had the greatest release. You taught me in football to teach me how to change the oil in the car, to hunting, to giving me advice and teaching me life lessons. We've always been together. You're always there for me when I needed you. Our relationship wasn't just as a father and a son, but it was as great friends. I'll miss our talks, your wisdom not only as a father but also as a pastor, and all the sports that we've played together. But I know that you'll always be praying for me, and you'll always be cheering me on to do my best. To the underclassmen, I would like to say, enjoy every minute you have here at this school, and don't ever take anything for granted here. Though FBA, it's not perfect, it truly is the best school in the world, and I'm glad that I got to be a part of it. To my classmates, I'd like to say thank you to each and every one. When I came to school here 4 years ago, I was an outsider. And it wasn't easy for you, but you made the transition for me easier, and you accepted me right into your class, and I thank you for it. And I never thought that I would become such great friends with each and every one of you. I can't think of any other class that I would rather be a part of. I love the camaraderie and the friendship that we share, and I hope as we go our separate ways that we'll keep in touch over the years. And tonight, as I said before, we start a new chapter in our lives. And we get to choose the subject of this chapter. Will it be success or failure? Will it involve God? Or will he even be mentioned? Will we later on in this life book, as we write this chapter, and when we're done, are we going to wish that we could rewrite it? Will we have regrets? Tonight I want to challenge all of us to take this new chapter of our lives and write it with God. We want success. God's the answer. We want success, he's the answer. If we want no regrets, God's the answer. When we have problems in our life, no matter what it may be, let's just remember that God is the answer to every problem that we may face. And let's leave our lives in God's hands, and we'll have a chapter in our life story that we'll never be ashamed to allow others to see. And may we all stay close to God, no matter what happens. I'll be praying for each and every one of you, and I miss you guys so very much.
This time I'll be reading from 1 Samuel 23, verses 14 to 18. And God's word said, "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in the mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth. And they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. So a word of prayer. Father, we do love you and thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for a Christian academy where your word is paramount. Lord, I thank you for a graduation celebration where your word is exalted. And Lord, as we have this special time tonight to celebrate these seven seniors, Lord, God, I pray in each and every single one of their lives, your word will be both paramount and exalted, Lord. And I pray you bless them, Lord, and we know your word says iron sharpeneth iron. And Lord, I thank you for the testimony of these seven seniors making a pact to finish right. And Lord, I thank you for blessing them, Lord. And I pray wherever you carry them in your will for their lives, Lord, I pray they would make you number one priority in their life. I pray you bless them. Be the remainder of the evening, Lord. Thank you again for the relatives and all those that came. We love you and thank you. All this we ask in your name. Amen.
Before Pastor brings the message, the seniors will be coming up to sing at this time, and they'll be singing a song entitled Preach the Word.
Was weary from his journey, his body frail and weak. The apostle knew the end was near as he dipped his pen in ink. He wrote, Timothy, my son, I have fought the fight of faith. Carry on what I've begun, but most of all I pray. Preach the word. The cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name until all have heard. Preach the word. Paul and Timothy are gone, but the letter still remains, and the mission that was written down calls out to us today. Lift the name of Jesus higher until the whole world, the story of amazing grace. We are messengers of hope. Preach the word, preach the cross. Preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name until all have heard. Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
Preach the word.
easier going back than coming out, right? Very good, Brother Caleb. Thank you. That was super, young people. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that. And I will not be long. It is 7:51. I'd like to be done at 8. I'd like to be done with handing out the diplomas at 8 o'clock and be over to there in the gym eating a piece of cake. All right? So that's what my plans are. You come to graduation time, you don't sometimes know exactly what to say. I don't want to be redundant and monotonous with each graduation challenge. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I heard recently a story about two men who were both on death row and sentenced to die in the electric chair for their crimes. And they became very close friends, good buddies. And just good buddies. And the day came for one of them to go to the electric chair. And so they came and they gave him his last meal, you know. And his friend was just touched by watching him eat his last meal. And then they came to take him to the chair. And he's on his way to the electric chair. And he's walking down the hallway. And he passes by the cell where his good buddy is. And he kind of, you know, he wants to give his friend, you know, some encouragement. So he just kind of lifts his chin up like, I'm going to be okay. His friend was just so touched. And he wanted to say something helpful and encouraging. All he could think of saying was, more power to you. And so, you know, I don't think that is the appropriate thing to say. So I don't want to say the wrong thing, okay, tonight. So I'll take just a moment and key off of something that you said last night, Caleb, in your speech at our awards banquet. The Bible says in verse 18, and they too made a covenant before the Lord. This is talking about David and Jonathan, of course. Their friendship is well known in the Word of God. Probably the most classic case of true Bible friendship is found in the lives of David and Jonathan. And the Bible says that they made a covenant together before the Lord. Caleb, you said last night in your speech that the seven of you had made a pact, I believe you said last summer. I don't know if this is something y'all did over the telephone or together as a group somewhere or where you did it, but you made the pact and you said, you know, we want to have a great year full of no regrets and things like that. And I believe that was the summary of the pact. And y'all realized the consummation of that last night, here tonight. And I appreciate the fact that somebody or several somebodies had the foresight and the heart to get together and say, look, let's make a pact. Let's covenant. Let's decide together that we don't want to have any regrets this year. We want to come down to graduation and enjoy what all that we can enjoy at graduation. And tonight, here you are. A pact is like a covenant. Webster's defines a covenant this way, a mutual consent or agreement of two or more persons to do or to forbear some act or thing. And that's exactly what the seven of you did last summer, and now that you all have successfully kept this covenant, this pact that you made last summer, I would like to encourage you to consider some other covenants that you ought to make for your futures. I'm going to give them to you real quickly. I won't hardly comment long on any of them. Number one, I'd like to see you make a covenant with your beliefs. Your beliefs. Please leave here with strong beliefs. Now, several of you mentioned, you know, the training and teaching you got, not just academically, but spiritually. And we're going to find out if they're yours.
Right.
So make a covenant with your beliefs. Please do not entertain this mentality, this attitude. Well, I believe this for me, but if the opposite works for somebody else, that's okay. It's not okay when it's in opposition to the Word of God. You need to have some absolutes nailed down that you have covenanted with that will not be for sale in the years to come. So make a covenant with your beliefs. I hope that in 10 years you will still believe what you believe tonight. Number two, make a covenant with your behavior. Please do not compromise your morals. Please don't compromise your morals. In our society, living together before marriage is an accepted norm. I hope that you folks are never part of the norm. And I promise you, if you will covenant with your morals and then honor your covenant, you will never regret it. Never regret it. Several years ago, I was in a conference room with several other pastors and evangelists, and we were meeting to plan and get ready for a national God Save America conference. In those days, we started preparation 7 and 8 months in advance of the actual date of the meeting. When we met, our hearts were saddened, and I will say also alarmed, because at that particular time, there was a lot of misconduct, or there were an inordinate number of situations where men in the ministry had failed morally. It was sickening. We were sick in our hearts, and we didn't approach it, I don't think, with the attitude that it can never happen to me, because the Bible says, take heed and beware if you think you're better than somebody else. So at that little meeting, before we began to plan the conference, somebody suggested that we would kneel and covenant together concerning our commitment to our wives, our families, and our ministries. Covenant about our moral behavior. And so Randy Taylor and Oliver Areza and Andy Edwards and Rick Fox and Mike Holloway and Keith Gomez and Dan Woodward and Doug Rogers and Bill Weiniger and myself, we all knelt around a big table. And we covenanted with each other and before the Lord that we would honor our relationships with our wives for our kids' sake, for our ministry's sake, for our wives' sake. And by the glory, to the glory of God and by the grace of God, all of those men have kept that covenant to this day. That covenant of moral commitment. Make a good covenant concerning your moral behavior. Let me say number three tonight, covenant with your Bible. I don't think we have to go over which Bible you need to make a covenant with. You've got the right Bible. You don't need to entertain any other scripture than your King James Word of God. Read it. Make a covenant to read your Bible. All of you in our senior appointments gave a good testimony about your devotion life. Keep the covenant that you make with your Bible to read it. Make it a part of your life. And then make a covenant with your Bible concerning keeping it. Put its principles into action and God will bless you. Number four, make a covenant with your spouse. That is, when you get married. The second most important decision that you will make is who you marry. Make the right choice and then make a covenant and understand that when you do, it is till death do us part. So make a covenant with your future spouse. And then number five, make a covenant with your church. That is that you will attend, be involved in, support, love, and help build the church that you are a part of. Only God knows where that will be in years to come. But wherever it is, make a covenant with your church. Jonathan and David made this covenant, the Bible says, before the Lord. And not only will you make the hope that you'll make this covenant, these kind of covenants with each other, but that you'll make them before the Lord. And Rosie, in your speech last night, you said that you hoped this class in 10 years would all be serving God. That touched my heart when you said that. It touched my wife's heart as well. That's our dream, that's our prayer for each and every one of you. That all seven of you will be the class in 10 years. And if Jesus stays in heaven, unless Harold Camping's right. All right. I don't think he is. But in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, may you be the class that honors your covenant of serving God. Let's pray together. Father, bless these young people. I pray that you'll be with them. Thank you for each of them. They are individually a blessing. Collectively, they are a great blessing. And God, I pray that your presence will be with them and go with them as they leave this place, a graduate of high school, and enter the next chapter in their lives. Bless their dads, their moms, their extended family who are here tonight. And God, thank you for each and every one of these seven seniors. Help them, I pray. God, in 10, 20, 30 years, if we're still on this earth serving you, may we find them all faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's time.
Would the graduates please stand? Jamie Caitlin Clem. Choking up with this one, Stephen. Sorry. Heavy. Come on. Stephen Tyler Howard. Carla Elizabeth Olivas. Rebecca Sue Payne. Caleb Lee Reardon. Rosalie Faith Seaman. Jessica Joy Smith. Now it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you Faith Baptist Academy's graduating class of 2011. You may move your tassels.
Missed it by 3 minutes, all right? Let's stand together. We're going to go over to the other building. There is cake and punch over there. And we're going to ask the Lord's blessing on that here. And for all of our parents of school students, you may pick up your child's report card from Miss McGraw in the school office in the other building. We're going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss the families first of the seven seniors, and then the rest of us will make our way over. Father, bless the refreshment in the other building. Bless our time together. Thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, families of our graduates, you first, please, and then with the rest of us, we'll make our way over.